The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on December 12, 1986 at Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 34.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudeya Jet Mukhakaroti Vachalam Pangulam Gayate Girim Yatipatamahan Bande Sri Gurum Ninatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Iswaram.
Chapter 9, Text 34 of Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Manamana Bhavamad Bhakto
Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru
Mamme vai sachi satyang te
Mamme vai sachi satyang te
Mamme vai sachi yukt vai vam
Mamme vai sachi yukt vai
vam Atmana matparayana
Atmana matparayana
Atmana matparayana
Atmana matparayana.
Translation. Engage your mind always thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Translation with repetition. Engage your mind.
Engage your mind.
Always in thinking of me.
Always thinking of me.
Become my devotee.
Become my devotee.
Offer obeisances to me.
Offer obeisances to me.
And worship me.
And worship me.
Being completely absorbed in me.
Being completely absorbed in me.
Surely you will come to me.
Surely you will come to me.
Purport. In this verse it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly said here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhashya comments on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Lila, verse 41 to 48. Deha dehi vibhedho yang nesvare vidyate kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know the science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. So, here Krishna is speaking to his devotee, Arjuna, but actually he's speaking to everyone, that if someone becomes his devotee, thinks of him, offers obeisances to the Lord, and worships the Lord in devotion, being completely absorbed in the Lord, surely that person will go to the Lord. In the previous verses, Krishna reassures, Mani Parta Vipasritya Yeti Siupapa Yonaya Striyo Vaishas Tatasu Drasteti Yanti Puram Vithin, that what to speak of priests, kings, pious persons, or women, Vaishyas, workers, they can all achieve the supreme destination by taking shelter in the Supreme Lord. This is the easiest method to achieve perfection, to achieve the goal of life, is to take shelter of the Lord. If we understand that this material world is like a very big prison house, and we are all prisoners in the material universe, we are not allowed to go freely. Of course, this is not what one would necessarily consider as a prison house, because the environment can sometimes be quite nice. Just like in Malaysia, there are nice coconut trees and palm trees, nice weather. If someone were to say this is a prison, well, it doesn't seem all that bad. The thing is that if we want to leave this planet and go to another planet, it is very difficult. Actually, we are tied down to this planet. But even if we take birth in another planet, then for that lifetime, we are limited by whatever the conditions of that particular planet are. And if we want to leave the universe and go back to the kingdom of the Lord, where there's no birth or death or old age or disease, we are not allowed to do so simply by our effort. There is a way. That is to become the devotee of the Lord, to bow down to Him, to become absorbed in Him, to worship Him. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad vyaji mang namaskuru. Krishna is saying this, Mam. Mam means I. When Krishna is speaking I, He means Himself. If someone says that what Krishna is saying, to surrender to the mind within Krishna, there's no difference between Krishna and His self and His mind, because He is the absolute truth. He is the Supreme Lord who's come down from the spiritual world to this planet to speak to all of us. I want to express my gratitude, not on my personal behalf, but on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual masters in the disciplic succession, for the greeting you all extended tonight. According to the Krishna conscious philosophy, the guru is like a mailman or a postal peon. He is to collect the mail and deliver it to its proper destination, and to deliver the mail without changing the contents of the letters. So, in this way, I take that all the reception is actually meant for Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and the other great spiritual masters, and simply as a very humble representative, I have to accept, even though they're the ones who are actually worthy of such respect. Our purpose as human beings in this world is been expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that as a human being, especially one born in the planet of Bharat, where Krishna and so many other great avatars and sages have appeared, is to perfect our life, to know what is the real purpose of life. Bharat bhumi te manusha janmo hai lo jar janma sharta kori koro poro pukar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, and we're celebrating his 500th anniversary this year, not to give some new philosophy. He didn't write any new books. He only wrote 8 verses. He told his followers to read the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Purana. He said that already the books have been given by Vyasa Deva. There's no need to make a new movement. with new books, but rather to propagate the original movement in a very practical form that everyone can practice throughout the entire world. So this movement is not teaching anything different. The same Bhagavad Gita, the same Bhagavad Purana. Simply, the method of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that has been promoted, because that is the specific process which is recommended in this age of Kali. The Vedas describe in each age there's a dharma, a yuga dharma. Krite dayatong Vishnu, tretayam yachata makai var param paricharjayam kalothad harikirtanat. Sati yuga was meditation, Treta yuga was fire sacrifice, Dvapara yuga was temple worship, Kalodat Hari Kirtanat. And in this age of Kali, it's Hari Kirtan, the chanting of the holy names of Hari, of Krishna, especially the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That mantra is given in the Kali Santarana Upanishad as a special remedy for the contamination of the age of Kali. Iti soda sakam nam nam Kali kalma shana shanam nata parata upaya sarva vede shudishate. It's not that the name is only powerful now in this age. The name is always powerful in this age because it is an impious age. It's a time when people are more materialistic. We require stronger medicine to cure the materialistic forgetfulness we have of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, in the Satya Yuga, there was one Brahmin, one priest, son, Ajamil. He had a good training in his childhood. He had a good wife. He was a young man, but somehow he was led astray. He left his wife and family, and he lived with another woman of loose character. And to support his new family, which was out of the social order, he had to become a thief, or he became a thief, became a dacoit, murdered people, robbed people. He did so many sinful activities. Somehow, because of his previous upbringing, he named his son after God, after the Lord. So when he was dying, he was calling his son, whose name he gave Narayana. So he's calling out, Narayan, Narayan, come here quick, Narayan, because he was dying. As he called Narayana, he died. Because he chanted the name of Narayana in a very enthusiastic, very intense manner, immediately he was delivered from the cycle of birth and death. So that even one time, if a person chants the holy name properly, it can have unlimited effect. Draupadi, when she was being attempted to disgrace her, was being done by Dusasana, she called out on the name of Krishna, Hey Krishna, Hey Keshava. And by calling on Krishna's name, she was saved. Like this, Narada Muni, as he travels through the universe, he is always chanting. So the name of Krishna has got unlimited potency. Nam nam akari bahudani disharva shaktis. This holy name has got unlimited potency. So because in this age of Kali, the present age we're in, we are more spiritually sick, we require a stronger medicine. Just like, for instance, if you go to the drugstore, now all the medicines in a drugstore may be good, all dharmas are good, but if we want to get cured of the material contamination of this age, then we need a very powerful medicine. That doesn't mean when we say that chanting Hare Krishna is the most effective method that we are in any way meaning to criticize any other method. That's not at all our intention. We have all respect for all dharma. The dharma is like medicine. We have to see that a particular medicine has a particular strength. Just like if a person has a very high fever, and if you take a very light medicine, it may not work. You may need some injection or some more powerful medicine. Just like one time there was a man, he went to the drugstore and he asked the pharmacist, the druggist, to kindly give me a good medicine. So he said, what medicine you want? He said, just give me a good one. He said, they're all good. I don't sell bad medicine. You just give me one good medicine. Here I come here, I've got the money. I got 25 ringgit, you give me a good medicine. Listen, what medicine you want? Each medicine, one is for the skin, one is for the head, one is for the stomach, one is for the heart. What medicine do you want? Don't give me all this talk, just give me a good medicine. The customer, again, he's demanding. So finally they're going on like this, talking, give me medicine. Finally the druggist became so angry, he said, you're crazy, what do you want? So, dharma is like that. They're all good. But the point is that what is our particular situation? The disease of irreligion is we forget who we are. We forget our loving relationship with Krishna, with the Supreme Lord. And we need to remember that. So, different methods like meditation is very good. But it's very hard to meditate in this age. If you meditate, there's jets going overhead, there's cars going by, there's dogs barking, there's children crying, there's so many disturbances. How will you silently meditate? In India, they tried to do fire sacrifice in Tirupati, but they couldn't get enough pure ghee. Whole thing came up smoking. The brahmanas were not able to chant the mantras without making mistakes. So they had to abandon the attempt, even after spending crores of rupees there. In the Dwapara Yuga, the fabulous temple worship was performed. Recently when I was in Nepal, they were putting a new golden roof on the Pashupatinath temple of Lord Shiva, temple that the Pandavas and other great souls had visited. So they had about 20 guards guarding the gold that they're putting on the roof of the temple. So I met the Prime Minister when I was there, and he mentioned to me that 50 years ago they had put gold on the Pashupatinath temple. That time also they had 20 guards. But that time they were guarding because the Prime Minister, he wanted to finance the entire gold on the temple. He didn't want anyone else's gold to go in. So he had guards to see that no one else put their gold. He wanted all the punya himself. So, but now the guards are not doing that. Guards are guarding that no one will take the gold. Even though it's meant for the service of the temple, that doesn't mean that people will not try to take it now. Things have degenerated. They have gone down. So, this is the difficulty. In some of the temples in South India, they have huge stock of beautiful jewelry for the deity. They don't dare to take it out and put it on the deity because of a fear that if the thieves don't steal it, the pujaris might. Because they're worth so much money that even the honest pujari in this age, he could go other way. So, situation is very difficult. How can you do temple worship in the same way? And people, they're not having that same consciousness. They're very busy. They cannot go to the temple every day as easily as in previous times. So Lord Chaitanya's system was make every home into a temple and let every family chant the names of Krishna together. Husband and wife, children, grandparents, grandchildren, everyone. They can all chant together. This is the process of yoga, of dharma, that all the generations, young and old, men and women, they can all participate. Simply singing the bhajans and kirtans. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And so many other names of Krishna, Ram. In this way, any time, any place, Whether a person is in his home, whether they're riding in the bus, whether they're walking in the street, anyone can chant the name of Krishna. Actually, even if one accidentally chants the name of Krishna, they get the benefit. Just like I saw many signs, Hare Krishna. They are chanting also, Hare Krishna. Somehow or another they are chanting Hare Krishna. Whether we knowingly or unknowingly chant, we get the benefit. The English word charisma means a person who's got a very attractive personality. The charisma is coming from the word Krishna. From Krishna came charisma or charisma. Because Krishna means all attractive. Who is all attractive? But the Supreme Lord. He is attractive for everyone. He has everything. He has all power. He is Bhagavan. All beauty, all renunciation, all fame, all wealth, all knowledge. Someone may have one of these qualities, or two, or three. Someone may be a PhD, but he may not be very wealthy. Or someone may be very wealthy, but he may not be very beautiful. Or someone may be very beautiful like some movie star and also be attractive, but he may not be very powerful. Like this, they're different. But it's all relative. But Krishna, he has all the power, all the beauty, all the fame, all the wealth. He is complete in all the opulences. Therefore, he is all attractive for everyone. So if we simply allow ourselves to think of Krishna, to worship Krishna, to be a devotee of Krishna, it's not difficult, it's very natural. It comes very naturally if we chant his name, if we read about his qualities, hear about his qualities, associate with his devotees. It's very easy to become a devotee. Because by nature we are all devotees, originally. Everyone is devoted to something. Some people are devoted to their country, some are devoted to some football or basketball or field hockey or some sport, badminton. Some people are devoted to their dog. In the morning, this morning, I saw one gentleman running his dog. So we're saying that instead of devotion to dog, better to have devotion to God. Same three letters are there, D, O, and G, only reverse, G, O, and D. We have to give our love or our devotion or our service, our affection to something. Why not give it to the greatest? By becoming a devotee of Krishna, the Krishna, he reciprocates. This is actually the greatest secret. This is the perfection of a self-realization. There's so many yogas, but different yogas require preparation. This is one yoga doesn't require a lot of preparation. One can immediately practice without any preparation. One doesn't even have to change their way of life. Simply as Krishna said, just think of me, become my devotee, worship me, respect me. You see? Instead of disrespecting the Lord, we should respect Him. Instead of being devoted to other things, be devoted to Him. What is a devotion? Devotion, if you hear about someone, if you think about someone, if you speak about someone, or if you do some service for someone, that is all devotion. So everyone is doing that all day. But they're talking about movie stars, sports players, political leaders. They're talking about someone, hearing about someone, they're thinking, they're giving some service. So instead, we give that to Krishna or to his representatives, his devotees. In this way, there's nothing unnatural, it's very natural. But by doing that, we become more and more absorbed in Krishna, and then we go back to Krishna. This is explained. That one should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna. and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to the Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. So, instead of just going on speaking, I'd like to hear your questions and we can talk about questions that you have. This Krishna Conscious Movement was brought to Malaysia in 1971 by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who Prabhupada said that people that drive motorcycles like that, they must have a death wish. They want to die. The movement was brought to the Western countries and then different parts of Asia because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that this message would be spread all over the world, that the whole world would be united in Sanatana Dharma. So Srila Prabhupada took this up at the age of 70 years with a great personal sacrifice and with great conviction. And practically single-handedly he was able to bring the Krishna Conscious Movement to every corner of the world, even including the communist countries, what to speak of other places. But his request was that people should try to understand his teachings, that he had a great effort. He had written 90 books like this. Not a sentimental practice, but there's a great philosophy behind it. It's very scientific. Although the practice of chanting may seem to be mechanical, but it's a great science behind this chanting, that certain mantras or vibrations are not different from the Lord Himself, that they contain unlimited power, is a mystery that is given in the Vedas. And this is recognized by different religions all over the world, that the name of God is all-powerful. The Lord Chaitanya, he taught that by constantly chanting the name of the Lord, we can be in a constant state of association with the Lord. And just as the iron rod, if you put it in the fire, gradually it becomes hotter and hotter and hotter until the iron itself becomes red hot, just like fire. If we stay constantly in the association of Krishna's name, that will spiritualize us, which means that we become free from all type of anxiety and suffering. Brahma bhuta prasanatma nasochiti nakanshiti sangashadareshu bhuteshu madhubhaktin labhyate param. By the process of becoming Brahma bhuta, or totally identified with the Spirit. What does this mean? The Bhagavad Gita explains that we are a body and a soul and a mind. And the actual identity, we are actually the soul or the self. And the body and mind are superficial covering. So there's a difference between the dehi and the deha, or the embodied and the body, in the material world. But for Krishna, there's no difference. He is Satchidananda Vigraha. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is eternal, blissful knowledge. But ourselves, we were originally in that pure spiritual status, but now we have fallen in this material world, and we are covered by material body and mind, which cause us unlimited sufferings and anxiety. But if once again we identify as a part of Krishna, as a spiritual servitor of Krishna, we become blissful, we become happy, we become freed from anxiety. So anyone can put this to the test. Chant Hare Krishna, follow the process, and if you find you're becoming happy, that you're becoming freed from anxieties and suffering, then you know that this process is working. Any questions? Krishna is aware of everything that everyone is doing, and he has to give his sanction. But he automatically gives his sanction. He doesn't normally get involved in the details of the material world. Although he is conscious and he allows things to go on, but he allows people to suffer and enjoy according to their karmas. In the 9th chapter, 4th and 5th verse, Krishna explains, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham te shavastita. Matstani sarva bhutani, all the living entities are in me. Nachaham te shavastita, but I am not amongst them. Then he further explains, Nacha matstani bhutani, that the living entities, although they are depending on me, they are also not, everything is not resting in me. Just as the Ishopanishad explains, Umpunamadaha Punamidam Punat Punamudachate Purnasya Punamevaya Punamevavasishate, that everything is perfect. Coming from the Supreme Perfect Umpurnam, so many other units have come who are also Purnam. They're also complete. So the material universe is a complete entity. And it's going on according to the karmas and activities of different living entities. So Krishna explains, Bhuta Binna Cha Bhuta Sto, that although I am the origin of all the living entities, Na Cha Bhuta Sto, I'm not part of this cosmic manifestation. So although Krishna is the origin, it's like someone has created a big factory, but the factory is going on. Once he starts it, it goes on. So similarly, Krishna, he starts the whole creation, and it goes on according to its own laws. This he explains in another part, Prakriti Prakriyanani Gunai Karmana Sarvasa, that the whole creation is going on by his prakriti, his energy. He directly doesn't involve himself. Of course, he's aware of what's going on. He knows everything, but he doesn't interfere. If somebody kills someone, and then as a result, in the next birth, they get killed by the other person, and these things are going on, so he lets people suffer and enjoy according to their desires and karma. But if somebody becomes devotee, Manmanav Ahmad Bhakto, if somebody surrenders to him, then he takes a personal interest. Otherwise, the activities that are going on, he doesn't take a personal interest. Although he knows what's going on, he allows it to go on. He allows it to go on because people are acting in forgetfulness of him. They're acting in material karmic law, they have to take the reaction for whatever they're doing. Krishna, he may decide how to give someone the reaction. Just as the Kurukshetra battle was organized so everyone could come at one time and all the people that needed to be destroyed could be destroyed at one time. That he may arrange. But he doesn't have to do that himself normally. He does it through his energies, his prakriti. Prakriti kriyamanayana, gunai karmana sarvasa. We think we're doing it. Ahankara vibhudatma kortaham iti manyate. We think we're doing it, being bewildered by ahankara, by false ego. This is actually a great mystery, he says, pasya me yogam aishwaryam. See my mystic happiness. I create the whole universe, yet I'm not in it. I create everything. Yet I allow the living entities to have their independence. They can act as they want, but they have to take the reaction. Otherwise, there's no meaning to pap and punya. There's no meaning to have sinful activity and pious activity if he's doing everything. Then why a person should be trained in all the shastras to be a good person? Don't do evil things. If we have no choice, if he's doing everything, then where's the question of being taught to do good? Rather, Krishna has told to Arjuna, that you have the choice. Iti te gyanam akhyatam ghuyat ghuyataram maya vingrisyaitat aseshena yathechasi tathakuru yathechasi yata icha tathakuru. Whatever is your desire, yata icha. Whatever you wish, whatever you want to do, tathakuru, you do that. In other words, Krishna explains the whole Gita. Then he tells Arjuna, if you want to follow this, it's up to you. It's your choice. You can follow or not. So Arjuna, being a devotee, naturally being a pious person, being a very good soul, he followed. If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, we'll also be successful. We shouldn't think that Krishna is forcing us to do things that we should not do. Krishna has given us a minute independence, that we can use it or misuse it. But he is also giving us knowledge how to use our independence to uplift ourselves. If we desire to go back to him, he'll bring us back to him. If we desire to remain in the material world, under material conditioning, then we'll also remain here, birth after birth after birth. Then we'll be taken around by the different modes of material nature. Sometimes being born in the planets of demigods, sometimes in the earth as a human being, sometimes in lower species of life. Yoga Aishwaryam. But how I'm able to create, how I'm the source of everything, yet I'm independent. And the things are going on without my directly getting involved. Although I can stop everything at a moment, nothing can go on without my allowing it. Yet I let it go on without getting involved, unless I want to. It goes on in its own way. So this, many great sages, they're not able to understand the position of Krishna. It's very mysterious. But we can only understand from his own words. Jantarura, jantra means his body. His body is a machine. We are situated in the machine. Hridayasthirajanatishtati. Hridayasthir means the heart. That this Atma is situated in the heart of this machine made of material energy. So Krishna has made these different machines, and we are situated in the machine. And we're going from one machine to the next machine to the next machine. Brahmayan sarvabhutani. All the living entities are wandering from one body to the next. Dehinosmin jata dehe komanam jovanam jara dehantara prapti dhirastati nanuyati. Just as we go from childhood to youth to old age, then we change the body so many times. At the time of death, again we change the body. So in this way, the living entities are wandering about these different machines. So we spend our whole life simply trying to make this machine comfortable. It's a yantra. You take it to the hospital, the doctors are organic mechanics dealing with this organic machine. It has a pump, it has filters, it has pipelines, it has a sensor system, nerves, so many other facets. The medical science doesn't even know exactly how it's working. They get some idea. They always find some new thing. So this is a wonderful machine. So this machine is actually man. It's an opportunity for us to use it in the service of Krishna and become liberated from this material world and go back to the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, which is lying beyond this material world. But if we take the machine and we try to enjoy simply with the senses that this machine is endowed with, then we waste our valuable human energy. An animal can enjoy the senses. The animal doesn't have a developed intelligence. They also have a machine-like body, but they don't have a developed intelligence. Human being can understand that there's a difference between the self and the body. Just as the Bhagavad Gita explains that this body is permeated by something. What is that? Anyone can understand that the body is permeated by consciousness. Just like there's a sun in the solar system, in the universe. And from that sun, The entire universe is given light, although it's situated in one place. So similarly, the soul is situated in the heart, but the consciousness, one is conscious of the whole body. So one can do a simple experiment. If we just cut off the circulation to part of our body, cut the circulation, for instance, here, cut it off here. We cut it off, what happens? After about 10 minutes, there'll be no feeling. It's a machine. It has no sense in itself. The sense is coming from the soul, from the heart, being spread through the bloodstream. The consciousness is going to all the extremities. If you cut off the blood, there's no more feeling. The hand is not alive. The living symptom is there because the living soul or living force is there in the body. You take the living force from the body, the whole body is a dead machine. If you see an accident, sometime we were driving from Penang to KL, and we saw about 3-4 motorcycle accidents. And one, frankly, the person was dead on the road. And it's not the same. You just see there's a dead body, it's not the same as a living body. It's like any other piece of material. It's not the same. When the living force leaves the body, then the body is no more life, no more warmth, no more quality of consciousness. So we should know that the difference between the living force and the body, which is a machine, that is being said, Hirdeshir Junatishtati, that the soul is in the heart. And so is the super soul. Brahmayam sarvabhutani yantarudani mayaya. So this body is a machine made of the material energy. And we are the soul or living force which is making this machine active. So we can make the best use of this material existence by leading a Krishna conscious life. Be happy in this life and then go back to the spiritual world in the next. Develop our spiritual attachments, transferring our consciousness from the temporary material life to the eternal spiritual life. He didn't say that. He told Arjuna, if you fight and you're victorious, you'll go to Swarga, or you'll be the king. If you fight and you die, you'll go to Swarga, to heaven, because if a Kshatriya dies in the battle, he goes to Suryaloka. He said, if you don't fight and you leave the battle, because your nature is a fighter, then your own nature will drag you back. It will make you feel very unhappy. You won't be satisfied, because your nature is to be a fighter. Because Arjuna was a Kshatriya. His whole life he'd been trained to fight. He was a warrior, he was a general, he was a prince. So when his brothers would be killed by the enemy, he could not stand there. Arjuna, Krishna knew his nature. Different people have different natures. The Krishna doesn't say to go against the nature. Rather, to sway sway dharma nyavirata sansidhin labhyate parav. That if a person follows his own nature and uses his nature in the service of Krishna, then he can achieve all perfection. Not that Arjuna was a warrior, he had to become a seamstress. He can remain a warrior for Krishna. If someone is a businessman, he can remain a businessman. If there's a housewife, she can remain a housewife. But simply add devotion. Add this manmanav mad bhakti madhyaji. So Krishna, he told Arjuna all the alternatives. Now Arjuna was intelligent enough that he could pick out what was the right choice. Right at the very end, he said, yatha icha tatha kuru yate icha. What is your desire that you do? He told Arjuna, all right, you don't want to fight? Then don't fight. Do whatever you want. It's your choice now. You heard everything. I told you the whole absolute truth in a nutshell. So then Arjuna said, all right, I'm going to do whatever you said. Just like you may know your son. Your son may say something, oh, I'm not going to get angry if you tell me something. But you know that if I tell him, he'll get angry. Because you know his nature. That doesn't mean you're forcing him to get angry. Krishna simply told Arjuna, if you try to give up fighting, since your whole life you've been doing nothing else but fighting, you won't be able to do it. It's all artificial. That doesn't mean that Krishna was saying that you're going to have to fight. Whether you like it or not, I'm telling you to fight. He didn't say that. He said that you can do whatever you like. But if you don't fight, you'll be miserable because it's against your nature. And if you do fight, then this is the result. But then Arjuna said, I don't want a kingdom, neither I want Swarga, so why should I fight? I don't want to kill all my brothers, my guru, grandfather, Bhishma, how can I fight with them? So then Krishna said, alright, don't fight for Swarga, don't fight for kingdom, you fight for me. Without thinking of winning or losing, if you fight as a devotional service for me, then I'll take all the karma. And it becomes a niskam karma. It becomes a work without any material reaction. Because you're doing it as an offering to God, I take all the results. Then Krishna explained, Mahapalesha Kadachana, you have a right to your work, you don't have a right to the fruit. You give me the fruit. You just do your work as a service and let me take the result. Offer the result to me. That is karma yoga. So taking this topic of fighting, Krishna explained through Jnana Yoga, Sankhya Yoga, Karma Yoga, different means. He explained. He gave Arjuna that choice. Hare Krishna. Any other question? How do you develop bhakti? Bhakti is already within you. Krishna prema nitya siddha sadhu kabo noi savanadi suddha chitti koraye udoi. You already have love for Krishna within you. But now that love for Krishna is being directed at so many other things. So by hearing and chanting the names of Krishna, by associating with devotees, by following Krishna's advice that we read today, being a devotee of Krishna, bowing down to Krishna, worshipping Krishna, that natural love, devotion, bhakti for Krishna, which is already within you and every one of you, that will automatically grow and come out. That you're able to observe all these things shows that your intelligence is expanding. Because generally we do spiritual practices, something like an elephant takes a bath. Elephant takes a bath by going in the water, scrubbing very well. Then when the elephant goes out, he picks up some dirt and throws on his back. Like that, we go and do some puja, we do some, then we go out and we do some nonsense. So this is called hati snan or hasti snan. We are going, taking the purification, and we're going and throwing dirt on ourselves. That's our own misfortune. So therefore, we need to mold our life in such a way that we don't throw dirt on ourselves. Dirt is already there, dust is in the air. Just like we walk in the street, our cloth gets dirty. No one has to throw dirt on your cloth. It gets dirty automatically because dirt is there. So what do? We take the cloth and we wash it every day. Because every day your cloth is getting dirty. For that reason, you say, what is the use? Every day I'm washing the cloth, again it's getting dirty. So what, I'm going back to square one every day. Better I don't wash my cloth. So the point is like that. That our consciousness is originally pure. We gradually have to purify the consciousness, bring it back to the pure state. And we have to keep it pure by daily washing. What is that washing? That is not, detergent. The washing is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. If you go on chanting Kirtaniya Sadahari, this will protect your consciousness from all this pollution. And then occasionally you come with many devotees and you have a big kirtan dancing or some big festival like Rath Yatra they recently had. This is gives a special wash. Just like sometimes you just wash in water, but sometimes you want to take hot water and soap and give it a good wash. So like that. In this way, your spiritual creeper is compared to like a small seed you get from the Guru and Krishna, the seed of bhakti in the heart, and that you water it. Water is like the devotional service, the chanting and hearing. That makes the seed sprout and grow. So in the beginning we have to add more and more water as it grows. When it gets bigger and bigger, then we're able to appreciate the devotional service in a full way. So now you simply have to go on watering your creeper and let it grow. To be patient. It may take a few days, weeks, months, years, maybe, lives. That depends on you and Krishna's mercy. If you are very enthusiastic, it can happen in 1 second. It can also take more time. But it will happen. Step by step, you're going to advance. You just have to stick to it. And if you see over a period of time what you were, what you are, you'll see that there's a difference. You chant Hare Krishna daily. That is the Maha Mantra for the Dwapara Yuga. It's a very good mantra. But you're about 5,000 years too late. It's a very good mantra. Everyone was chanting that mantra in the previous yuga. But this yuga especially recommended is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We also chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. We chant it today before the Bhagavatam, you probably noted. But for regular chanting, any time in any place, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is especially recommended. You could try that to see if there's a difference. We are told by great authorities that this mantra is more effective than the previous age's mantras. Those mantras are also effective, no doubt. But that somehow this mantra is especially meant for this age. So therefore it's more suitable for the present time. So you might try that, see if you get more effect, more strength. Other question? Any ladies have questions? Mothers? How many of the persons present chant Hare Krishna? How many are chanting? How many have taken the initiation or pre-initiation? Krishna Seva Krasada? How many are chanting on beads? Do you have beads for chanting? So this chanting on beads is a good system. So we use this kartal. When you're together, drums and harmonium, this helps to engage the sense of touch. But when you're alone, then you can use the beads. The beads use the sense of touch. We chant, we hear the three senses together. Then you look at a picture of Krishna or the tulsi plant. This helps to focus the concentration. And this way it's very easy to chant. So we recommend for individual chanting that you can get beads. Or at least you can count the chanting. And try to keep a regular number of chanting every day. This will give more and more spiritual strength. How many of you are chanting, counting the chanting? Let's see. So this counting is a good system. Just like if you have two plants. One plant, if you water every day, one cup of water. Other plant, some days you get water, some day you don't. Some day, 2 cups, 3 days, no water. Irregularly, because there's no measurement given. So which plant grows better? Normally the one with regular care will grow better. So like that, our spiritual creeper grows very nicely if we give regularly some spiritual water. That is the regular chanting. So for this purpose, counting how many times we chant Hare Krishna as an aid is recommended. So we have programs for people who can chant half an hour a day. There's a program for them, for those who can chant an hour a day, for those who can chant even 10 minutes in a day. There's all different types of programs. How many of you like this process of chanting Hare Krishna? How many of you don't like it? How many like it? So, Lord Chaitanya, he gave us this very simple process. So any of you like to... He requested everyone just try. You can, even if you chant other mantras or you're doing other things, but everyone should try to chant Hare Krishna also. You don't need anything else, but at least you should chant Hare Krishna. Because that's the special mantra mentioned for this age. So any of you who are chanting or who would like to chant in the future, following Lord Chaitanya's system, then we give out this free card, which has the mantras in the back, Hare Krishna, as well as Lord Chaitanya's name. If you chant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name before Hare Krishna, this will give you more strength. And if you like, I also, while we're serving prasad, I can sign if someone likes. So if there's anyone that wants a card that's going to be chanting at least 108 times or 10 minutes in a day, who can chant 7 or 10 minutes in a day Hare Krishna, then we'll present you with this card, part of the sacred order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does anyone who would like a card? Stand up. Any way of chanting will help, but the process, one should chant and hear. If one chants and hears, then that has an effect. Mechanically chanting and not hearing will not have as much effect. But even mechanical chanting, occasionally one will be hearing it. So that's better than not chanting at all. But we recommend that one should not mechanically chant, but should chant and hear. If you hear the vibration, we don't consider it to be mechanical. Even though one may be repeating it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you're hearing it, it has a different effect. It may appear mechanical, it's not mechanical. It is actually has some effect on the consciousness. But we shouldn't be like parrot that we're going just repeat it, we're not hearing it. We should hear the mantra. It's called Sravanam Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting. Thank you for your point. Good point. We also request that fill out the where it says name and address of the card. If you can fill that out and turn it in. So that way we know who's chanting Hare Krishna, and we can put you on, send you any invitations, or for any functions that come up, they can send you from the head office. So now you can distribute prasad. Those who took the card, appreciate if you just put your name and address in the proper place. On the back there's a questionnaire which is optional. If there's anything that's applicable, you can put the tick mark wherever it... For instance, it says, I want to have bhajans like this in my house. You just put a tick there. Or it says, I'm a vegetarian, I want to be a vegetarian in the future. That's interesting for us to know. If somebody wants to be a vegetarian, maybe we'll send someone who can teach them how to cook different vegetarian preparations or something, or if they want. It's just interesting. These are just optional information. One doesn't have to be a vegetarian to chant Hare Krishna, but it helps. It's recommended, but it's not a prerequisite. You should chant anyway. That will help you to improve your life.